have for the three sisters to sing for us tonight. I'm glad to reintroduce to, and for maybe the first time, introduce you to a missionary that is sent out from Maranatha Baptist Church. I know many of you probably met him and his family this morning, but John Schrock has been traveling for about a year and a half now, almost a year and a half, and has already raised 25% of his support with some more promise to come in. You know, John, for those of you that didn't know, was a pastor for just a short time, but he was also in the military for a short time while he was going through at least the last couple years that he was here. When I got back, he was working for the police force there in Gastonia. And so when you start adding all those things together and being in the military, being working on the police force, having some experience already pastoring, I'll tell you, that tells me that God has constituted him to be able to reach out to those men and women that are serving in the armed forces. There is a certain mentality. There is a certain camaraderie that comes along with other people that have served. And so I believe he's going to be useful. I'm looking forward to what he has to give us tonight. John, you come preach to us.
Thank you, preacher.
What a blessing it is to be here tonight. How many of you like fishing? Anybody here like fishing? You enjoy going out there? You do too, out there. You go fishing in the ocean? You like doing that? Have you ever gone deep sea fishing? Well, when you go out fishing, we've been 37 states. We've started, taking on fishing, literally fishing, not just fishing for men. I got myself a rod and a reel and a tackle box. I started putting in there, the necessary items. You need to have a hook. I found out to go fishing, having a hook is usually an opportune thing to have in order to catch the fish. But as I go from place to place, I'm learning that different fish in different places hit on different things. When we were in the Upper Peninsula, I went to the local outfitter shop and I asked them what fish are hitting and what are they hitting on. They said, right now, the smallmouth bass are hitting. I said, well, that'll be exciting. There's going to be some fight there at the end of the line. We'll have to sit there and watch and see where that line's going. And when you start seeing it coming towards you, you start reeling in really quick. And then you start letting out some line and you wait till it gets good and tired. You pull that smallmouth bass in. But I said, now what are the smallies hitting on? They said they're hitting on in different places. Sometimes it's worms. Sometimes it's even artificial lures that you might get. And if you're smart, you would go and put something on there that the fish are hitting on if you're trying to catch a fish, right? But sometimes we go out there and we say it's a good, great day going out fishing, even though we didn't catch anything. How many of you ever said that? I didn't catch a single thing. There wasn't even a nibble at the end of the line, but it was a worthy day to go out fishing. I got an opportunity to go out and fish at my favorite spot. You can ask my wife, a few years ago, I thought it was the dumbest thing to go out fishing. Why in the world would you do it? But then I found out there's some joy and some pleasure in going fishing. Can I ask you a question tonight? Who are you fishing for? Who are you fishing for? Turn in your Bibles, Luke chapter 2 with me. Luke chapter 2, and you say, Brother Schrock, I thought you were a missionary. Every missionary is supposed to go to Isaiah chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 28, Mark chapter 16, but I'm going to Luke chapter 2. You've heard this passage before. Probably happened in your house. Your family was trying to keep Christ in Christmas, and maybe this tradition was like it was in the Schrock family, and Mom and Dad would have the Christmas tree, and we would have it would be usually, Christmas Eve night, and we'd gather around after supper, and we'd gather around the Christmas tree, and we'd go from child to child, start with the youngest one, and what's your favorite Christmas carol? We'd sing all the stanzas we knew of that one, and we got smart as you find out the ones that you only know the first stanza, and you don't know any of the rest because it speeds up the process. And then the wonderful words happened that Dad said, get me my Bible, because what passage are we going to read? Luke chapter 2. And what that meant to me as a young child, 9, 10, 17, 18, 19, 20, is that we are about ready to get Christmas presents. But Luke chapter 2 has a whole lot more in it than the fact that it's been read multiple times in my lifetime at Christmas time. Look with me, Luke chapter 2, starting in verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. There is missions going on even at the announcement of the birth of the Christ child. Who are you fishing for? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to preach your word. Fill me with your power. Help me to have clarity of words, clarity of thought. Lord, I pray that I would preach everything that you would have me to preach and preach nothing that I ought not. Lord, thank you so much for sending your son to die on Calvary's tree for me. Lord, expedite our path to Spokane to be able to reach out there to a lost and dying world out there. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I want to look at the implication of the good news. Notice in verse number 12, it says, This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The angel here is telling the shepherds that were there keeping watch over their flock by night. He says, Put me to the test. You can test me on this. This shall be a sign unto you. He says, if you go into Bethlehem, you'll find a babe. You know, it'd be a pretty neat thing if you're there at your work, at your work, and all of a sudden an angel comes and says, if you go to Charlotte, you're going to find a baby. That'd be pretty neat. I would put that on Facebook. I don't know about you. That'd be Facebook worthy, maybe Twitter worthy. But then it gets even more specific. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. When little Rebecca was born on November 30th, 2015, she was born, and she didn't spend the first several days or even weeks much in the bassinet. We call it a bassinet instead of calling it a manger. It helps us get more support, because as a missionary, you don't say you lie your baby in a manger. It goes south from there. But she would either be being fed or being changed or being ripped limb from limb by the other kids because it's their turn to feed the baby, but she didn't spend much time in the bassinet. But when the shepherds came at a random time, if the baby wasn't in the manger, if they didn't find a baby, the whole thing would be untrue. Notice verse number 16. They came, they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. The implication of the good news is God's word's true. When God says it, He means it. He didn't need to have filler. He was telling them, if you believe this, you will find it to be true. God's word is true. In verse number 11, it says, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It's the culmination. It is the prophecy that has been given down from the very beginning. I think it's Genesis 3 and verse number 15 that starts talking about the Christ child that is coming, the Savior of the world. And today is the day God's word is true. When you're out fishing for men, you need to be telling these fish that God's word is true. 63% of people in Spokane self-identify themselves as believing that there is no God. That is their religion. Folks, that's the United States of America. There is more religion in China than there is in Spokane, Washington. False religion in China, but there's more religion. They self-identify that there is no God as their religion. They need to know about a Savior who came and died for them. Notice the reaction to the good news, verse number 15. It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found. Now, the reaction to the good news was they went and they found. Notice they did not delay nor debate, but I also want to point out to you that they chose. They did not have to believe. as I heard one person erroneously put, that God superimposed upon them that they must believe. No, they chose of their own free will that God was truthful. On April the 16th, 1987, I chose God to be truthful, and I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins and come into my heart. God was true. I chose. The result of believing the good news, verse number 17 with me, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. I want you to put your adult imagination caps on and picture with me, because what the Bible says, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them. Well, if they made known the saying, think with me, they also probably told you about who told them. Honest. I was out on the hillside tonight, and then an angel came. Trust me, it really happened. Picture with me. How did this go about? As they're telling the next person at the grocery store or wherever they might, the local Piggly Wiggly, they were telling them about what was going on, about what they had found to be truthful. They said, an angel came and talked to me tonight as I was watching the... No one's paying attention. Picture with me. There would be some missed people who would be like, maybe we need to call the police department and get you committed to the seventh floor because you're seeing angels. Have you ever gone out and told others about Jesus Christ and kind of get this blank stare? They don't understand. No, really, one night I was sitting there and God convicted me of my sin. And they're like, he did what? You understand, they kept continued on. They didn't give up. You know, I've lived here in North Carolina for 10 years, but before that was living up in Indiana, and they're a little more rude up in Indiana than they are down here. Down here they say bless your little heart as they pat your hand. I'm not sure exactly what bless your heart means, but I don't think it's exactly what they're trying to say in bless your heart. In Indiana they'll just slam the door in your face, and I'll say it to my shame, I've gone home and more or less pouted after they slammed the door in my face because they wouldn't believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. What did the shepherds say? An angel came and told me about the baby that was born. It's a Savior. It's for you too. And they continued on. But I want to look at the recipients. The result is sharing. The recipients of the good news. Notice in verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds. Shepherds. Who are these shepherds? Who are these individuals that God sent, that God the Father sent his angel and then his angels to be the first ones to hear that the Savior is here for you? Shepherds of that day, remember, we're in the Old Testament time, the Old Testament law. They were considered ceremonially unclean. They had to touch the sheep, and they had to check out the diseased portions. They had to muck out the stall. They had to go, and they were considered ceremonially unclean. Sheep stink. I've learned that. I was in Republic, Washington, and the pastor's wife raises sheep. There is a special smell that is reserved for sheep. You know, there's some smell of those sheep upon the shepherd. You know, it's kind of like sin. We get involved in sin, and then there's the stink of sin in our lives. But God sent his angels to go tell shepherds that stank, you could actually smell them, about the good news of Jesus Christ. Pastor commented that I was a police officer in Gastonia, North Carolina. There is a homeless problem in Gastonia. Folks, I am not meaning this in a wrong or coarse way. There is a smell of homelessness. They don't have the availability of a warm shower, a cold shower, or any shower. And they still need to know about Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But what about the one that might fight a little bit against it? But you know what? How many times have you said is, when I go out fishing, it's worth the fight, right? Some of us even go fishing specifically for the type of fish that will fight the most. Why not go and find some individuals that Jesus Christ died for oh, they're going to flip and they're going to flop and they're going to tug on the line. But we'll do it in fishing out there on the broad river. But what about when we're trying to win souls to Jesus Christ? April the 16th, 1987, I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Fast forward to the age of 16. Got a job at the local library. Started seeing the things of the world, and I started straying away from the Lord. I saw the glitter and glamour of the world that I thought was glitter and glamour. And I started straying. Age 18, I got my second job as a pizza delivery driver for the local pizza shop. Saw more things of the world, thought it was pretty fascinating. Started going even farther and farther. To the point that I even stated to several individuals, if God will stay out of my life, I will stay out of His. Folks, I was a saved individual. But I had strayed to that point. I had changed my mindset. God didn't stay out of my business because He didn't make that pact. I was trying to make that pact. I decided I didn't like having rules and regulations in my house because they told me when to eat, how much to eat, and when to be home before 10 because, you know, bad things happen, you know, after 10 o'clock. Sounds like good God-fearing parents to me. But they just had too many rules. I wanted to chart my own course. I wanted to be my own man. I wanted to decide when I wanted to get up. I'm 20 years old. They said we had to have one meal a day at the house and we were supposed to talk. I said, but I have my Fifth Amendment rights. I have the right to remain silent. And they said, well, but we still had meals. And I finally had it. I had dictatorial parents. Please understand, I didn't really have dictatorial parents. That was my mindset. So I said, I'm going to be my own. I'm going to chart my own course. I'm going to be able to say when I get up, when I go to bed. I'm going to say how much and how, when I'm going to eat, who I'm going to talk to, how long I'm going to talk to them. So I joined the United States Marine Corps. I found out about rules. I found out about regulations. Then I got, remember I had said I didn't need God in my life? Then I found out about this 25-mile hike after I got out of boot camp. And I decided I need a little bit of God. Have you ever gone to church for the wrong reason? Have you ever done that? For the wrong purpose? Had the wrong mindset? I went to church that day with the wrong mindset and the wrong reason. I just needed enough God to last between 12:30, because what I was going to do is I was going to shake the pastor's hand and say, Pat, preacher, I know you love the military. Would you please pray for me that I pass the 25-mile hike tomorrow? I needed him to last for 24 hours. That's all I needed. The pastors are preaching away. Had nothing to do with any of the sins I was struggling with in my life. But the Holy Spirit was convicting a young Lance Corporal's life. I was raised in one of those churches they say, you know, the altar's now open. I thought that meant that the altar was closed before that. So I waited before for the preacher to say, the altar's now open. I found myself at an old-fashioned altar confessing what I had done and getting my heart right with the Lord. Then I got started in a discipleship program with the pastor there, found out I was getting station in Chesapeake, Virginia for an 8-week training course at Marine Corps Security Force Training Company. Pastor said, Shrock, if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. The devil will use this move in order to uproot the new root, you know, the what you have done, and will use it in a catastrophic way in your life. I said, oh, what do I need to do? He said, you need to call some churches and have them ready to pick you up the next Sunday. That way you're in church the next Sunday when you get there. So I started calling around. And you think I'm, you know, a little overbearing at times? You should have known me when I was a Lance Corporal, bulletproof, head the size of the state of Texas in the Marine Corps. I call up and I just start blessing them out. If you don't have a military ministry, you don't even need to call me back because you're not right with Jesus. And just railing on them. I have never even met them. I get a phone call back. And a voice that you, if you've ever heard, you'll never ever forget. So, hello. Hello, my name is Commander Jerry Padgett. I went to the position of attention and said, yes, sir. He said, I'm calling you. He said, I heard you want to go to church. I said, that'd be great. He told me when, where, told me everything they're going to do. Take me out to eat at Olive Garden. Praise the Lord. Who doesn't like Italian food? And then they were going to buy me clothes. They were going to have me over there for the 4-day liberty for the upcoming Memorial Day weekend. There at their house, they were going to sleep me and feed me. And there at the house, they were going to invest in my life. So I got into his car at 8 o'clock in the morning. That Sunday morning, he had driven 45 minutes to come pick me up and had to drive 45 minutes back on his gas dollar. And I get into the car and I start telling him every Navy joke that I knew. As a young Marine to a commander, an 05 in the Navy. You know what he should have done? Opened the door, kicked me out, and said, walk yourself back to base, bud. But he didn't. Have you ever said something wrong when you're talking to somebody and everybody knows what you were meaning to say, but you just say the wrong thing comes. You've said, and everybody giggles, but I was the guy sitting there at the church and I would take the pastor to task about the wrong things that he said. Does that sound like a fish that's fighting and flopping and trying to get it? But hey, when we're out fishing, we say we're trying to catch us a smallmouth bass. This is going to be fun. It's going to be worth the fight. The pastor started investing in me, discipleship program. 2014. Police officer in Gastonia, North Carolina. I could take you to the parking lot. And God's been convicting my heart. I've fought against God. I can tell you, He'll win. Let me just tell you that right now. So I said, I'm not going to fight. I'm going to surrender. Started looking and seeing, okay, I want to go and God's really directing towards military missions. You know, in order to get onto military bases, usually it takes, you know, something that they know that is considered worthy of them allowing you on base. So I found out about Armed Forces Baptist Missions. I was going through a training program and met this individual. And here comes the sequence of the good news. Because notice verse number 18, then they which heard, and I'm not quoting it, but they which heard from the shepherds told others about what they had heard from the shepherds. In walks this gentleman in a voice that you will always remember, but I couldn't remember his name. Have you ever had that happen? You're like, I met this person, but I can't remember where. I said, how are you, sir? He goes, just fine. Good to see you, John. How do you know my name? I said, what's your name? He says, Jerry Padgett. Oh, hi. He goes, it's neat to see what God has done in your life. And you remember too. Then you meet the pastor of Good News Baptist Church, the former pastor, Pastor Walt Coles. Remember the one that I used to take to task for his legitimate mistakes? Hi, Pastor Coles. You know what my express prayer is? I want to find, and I'll use a military term. Those of you that have been in the military, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I want to find a knucklehead just like me and invest in them. Yeah, the one that's going to flip and flop and he is going to pick apart my sermons, and he's going to be the one that we're going to call up and say, Pastor, I'm going to ship him down on Amtrak. I'm putting him in shackles. You take care of him there in North Carolina, because I'm sure that North Carolina sweet tea will do something for the guy. Maybe give him diabetes, but it'll do something for him. But would you please pray for him? Because right now he's at a crossroads. He's either going to go right and that'd be okay, but if he goes left, it's going to be catastrophic. Catastrophe in his life. Would you please pray? But then in a few years, I want to call back and say, remember that guy you've been praying for? God's called him to the ministry. Folks, these shepherds, many of them were individuals that had records with the legal system of Israel. Not all of them. But it was one of those jobs you didn't have to have a background investigation in order to be a shepherd. You just had to have a willing heart and a heartbeat. And you could do it. And the first people that Jesus Christ, the first people that God sent his angel and then angels to were the shepherds to tell them, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I want to read a hymn to you. You've probably heard it. There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold. But one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold. Away on the mountains wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care. Away from the tender shepherd's care. Lord, thou hast here thy 99. Are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer, this of mine has wandered away from me. And although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. I go to the desert to find my sheep. But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found his sheep that was lost. Out in the desert he heard its cry. 'Twas sick and helpless and ready to die. 'Twas sick and helpless and ready to die. Lord, whence are those blood drops all the way that mark out the mountain's track? They were shed for one who had gone astray ere the shepherd could bring him back. Lord, whence are thy hands so rent and torn? They're pierced tonight by many a thorn. They're pierced tonight by many a thorn. And all through the mountains, thunder riven, and up from the rocky steep, there arose a glad cry to the gates of heaven, rejoice, I have found my sheep. And the angels echoed around the throne, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Folks, there's men and women that have joined the United States military just like I did, running. Saved, but running. This has the answer for them. There are those here in the United States of America that have never, ever heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And this is a great answer for them. That's my desire. That's what we've been doing. Over 30 souls saved while we've been out on deputation. We're not waiting until we get to Spokane to start ministry. We've already begun it. Men and women, I was in the chair of a Walmart just a couple days ago. See a man with a Vietnam War hat that says Purple Heart recipient. Walk up to him, shake his hand, and say, thank you for your service. He looks at me, tears in his eyes. He goes, thank you. Why did you say that? I said, well, I'm thankful for your service. I said, I'm also a missionary to the military, going out and reaching people that are struggling and giving them hope. He goes, I'm struggling. Had the opportunity to witness to him a little bit. Folks, they're here. Cleveland, Gaston County. And they need God's word to change their lives. Lord, help us. Help us to remember that we were once without you. Lord, help us to remember that you've come to seek and to save that which is lost. Heads bowed and eyes closed this evening. I've just got a couple of questions I want to ask you. On April the 16th, 1987, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. On that day, if I died, my home was in heaven. I knew that for sure. If you have a question, is there one here tonight? You say, Brother Schrock, I've been raised in church. I've heard about heaven and hell, but if I died right now, I'm just not sure exactly where it might be. It might be heaven, it might be hell. I'm about 90% sure that it's heaven, but I am not for sure that it's heaven. Would you slip your hand up and say, Brother Schrock, would you pray for me? I'm not going to embarrass you. I see that hand. Is there anyone else? I'm not going to embarrass you. Is there anyone else? Dear Christian, I wonder, did the Lord put a face in your mind as I was preaching about someone who has gone astray? You know them. You have an opportunity to reach out to them. Maybe they're beginning to go astray. Maybe they've just slipped a little bit in a couple of areas, but you know that the going astray is happening in their hearts. you say it's going to be muddy and murky, it might cause a little, some problems, but I need to reach out to them because they're that sheep that's gone astray out in the desert, and I want God's power in order to help reach them. Is there anyone like that this evening? You say, Brother Schrock, would you pray for me? There's someone I need to reach out to. Yes, I see that hand. Yes, 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 yes. Can I challenge you to do business with the Lord about whatever decision you need to make? If you need to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I invite you to come up here. We can show you from the Bible how you can accept Jesus Christ. But if there's that one, I don't know the circumstance behind it. I don't know how muddy and murky it might be, but I know a Savior that can make all of that good. Lord, I pray that you would be with each situation here. Lord, you saw the hands. You know exactly the situation. You know exactly what's going on. And Lord, I thank you that we can pray, even though we don't know specifics, we can pray to a God that can deal very specifically in those situations. Lord, I pray that you would just guide and direct us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet?